We are a peculiar people. I say this often, but you know, I have a new normal now. A new normal. It's in the kingdom. It's in His presence. Walking with Him. Hallelujah. Seated with Him. Enjoying fellowship with Him. Declaring His praises. Declaring the praises of the One who called us out of darkness. Amen. And He brought us into His marvelous light. Has anybody been brought into the light today? Amen. Come on. God says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Lord, thank You for Your kindness, for Your grace, Your mercy, Your patience, Your long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that we should turn back to You. Oh, thank You, God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. You never know what might happen on a Wednesday night. If you're available, and you should come on Wednesday night. Is there? Because sometimes we get into a predictable mindset of, well, we're going to come and we're going to sit down, we're going to sing a few songs, we're going to hear a message. And, well, that's not what happened Wednesday night. And that's because God had a different plan than what we had. And we had a wonderful time of refreshing. And I don't know about you, but I'm having a wonderful time of refreshing right now. God is good. God is with us as we gather. He wants His people to be refreshed. He wants His people to have joy. He wants us to be joyful. He is the true joy giver. His name is joy. Amen. His exceeding great joy. He is our exceeding great joy. And sometimes we get into the mindset of, okay, what's next? What do we do next? We just need to lean back in His arms and let go, all right? Rest. Come into rest. We don't have to have a program. We don't have to have even a pattern. How many know that what we do in church on an average daily or basis is not really in the Scripture? Well, there's singing in the Scripture. Amen. There's worship. There's sharing the Word. There's testimony, right? Word of our testimony. All these things that we do. But there's no established pattern. And so we just kind of say, well, we'll do it this way or we'll do it that way. I feel that the best way is just to as it says in Psalms 100, to come before His presence with singing. Amen. That's how we approach God. And enter His gates with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. So we want His presence. Amen? We want His presence here with us. As we are open to Him, if we're hungry for Him, He shows up. If we're self-satisfied, then there's no sense need of His presence. If we're full of ourselves, there won't be any sensed need for His presence. If we're full of the world, there won't be any sensed need for His presence. So we have to develop an appetite for the Lord. And we do that by eating the right things, drinking the right things, and stop feeding ourselves the junk. Amen. The filler food. The comfort food. Preached a sermon probably a couple years ago now, but on developing an appetite for God. And you know, if you're used to a McDonald's diet, you'll begin to crave more of that kind of stuff. Isn't that true? Ever been like on a junk food thing where you've been doing a lot of junk food, and maybe you're on the road and you're stopping to get something quick? And you do this with children. If you start them out on junk food, and then you try to put some vegetables in front of them, some of them don't need any junk food. They're not like vegetables, but there's something about what we feed on is going to determine what we will develop an appetite for, more of. So if we train ourselves to eat right physically, eating, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, for example, you can acquire, you've heard it said, acquire a taste for those good things, right? But if you're used to a junk food diet, then initially it may not be good to you or pleasant to you. Does that make sense? Spiritually, it's the same is true. If we're filling up on the things of this world, or if we're just full of ourselves, then we're not going to have an appetite for that which truly satisfies and that which, you know, this world could never give you, and that is the peace, the joy, the righteousness, the fellowship with God in the Spirit, and a desire and a hunger to be with Him. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. If I'm not hungry for God, it may just be that I'm full of the wrong stuff. We're especially dealing with it with so much of this among our young people that have access to entertainment 24/7 on the internet, you know, constant stimulation, entertainment, constant things to keep them preoccupied, and to the degree that a lot of churches are just looking for ways to keep the kids stimulated so they'll at least come to church. Are you hearing me? Because we've been geared into this gerbil in the wheel kind of mentality. You know, you got the picture, yeah. And really, it's really going nowhere. The world and its lusts are passing away. Jesus said, "He who does the will of my Father abides forever." I have to check myself out the same way as, Lord, if I'm not hungry for you, there's a problem. Because God is so delightful. God is so good. God is so desirable. I mean, it's not a cliche. God really is desirable. He really is good. But if we're not eating, all right, feeding, if you will, on Him, if we're not creating that appetite by tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, then we're not going to have a hunger for that. We can fill ourselves with television, with sports, with this, with that, everything that the world wants to offer you to cause you to feed or feast on things that really are going to leave you empty at the end. Because the enemy wants to deceive. He wants to distract. He wants to distract us away from the purposes of God for our lives. Because he's a thief. God wants to give you an inheritance. Amen? And God will never force his will on us. He calls us to make a decision to choose to do his will. Jesus had to deny himself to do the Father's will. It was no longer about himself. I want to please the Lord. I want to teach what he's teaching. I want to hear what he's saying. I want to be in the center of my Father's will. I want to live for him. God has called every one of us that names the name of Christ to depart from evil, to sanctify ourselves, to consecrate ourselves to him, to be his vessels through whom he will touch this world. Amen? And we cannot, you've heard it said, but we cannot be full of Jesus if we're full of ourselves. And sometimes when God is speaking to us, it doesn't feel good at first. But later on, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Sometimes when we're corrected, we don't like to be corrected. Does anybody enjoy being corrected here? How many would agree that correction is necessary? Amen. Correction is good for us. If you love your children, you correct them. Amen. God loves us, so he corrects us. He wants to make our path straight. How many here have had your heart set on something? You had you had made plans, and all of a sudden, that plan got interrupted. You were planning to do something, and something happens that stops you from doing what you had planned to do. You know, God has a plan for our lives, and it's not always what I might have planned. Sometimes what we plan is a dream that God gave us, but God has also given us some freedom to dream with Him. Just like we have children and we want our children to be able to have dreams, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But there is the will of God for our lives that has to be central to how we walk, what we do, how we live. So God, He messes up our plans often so that He can reveal to us His better plan. How many would agree today that God's plan is the best plan? Now, we know that and we say that. However, sometimes, if you're like me, we had our goal here, or we set our sights on this thing that we're doing, and we're running full bore, and all of a sudden God just interrupts it. And He says, "What are you doing? I didn't ask you to do that." It's a good thing, but it's not what God told us to do. And how many know that good things have no reward? Amen? Right things, things that are in accordance with the will of God, we will be rewarded for. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." In the New Living Translation, it says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." And how many remember this one, Jeremiah 29:11? "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." He didn't say the thoughts that you think, but I know the plans, right, that I have for you. Thoughts and plans, it says in the Amplified, "for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." In the New King James, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." How many have quoted that before? Amen? Held on to that promise, right? Well, we're going to look at it in context today. Because we often will take a promise or something from the Scripture and we want to apply it to our situation. And yet we need to understand what the context was where this was being spoken. It came by way of letter from the prophet Jeremiah. And so we're going to get there. But this word, "for I know the thoughts that I think towards you," means a contrivance, intention, plan, imagination, purpose, or thought. I know the purpose. I know the thought. I know the intention that I have for you. And for what? For peace and not for evil. How many would agree that God really is good? And in the Amplified, it says, "to give you hope in your final outcome." Your final outcome. This is what we need to remember, folks, is that the process to get to the final outcome is often very difficult. But it's necessary. It's easy when everything is going our way. But sometimes we're very stubborn and we're bent on having our way, and God just has to interrupt it. Because He has something better. That's why He interrupts it. Because He has something better for you. How many times have I thought my way was really the best way? And then God interrupted it and He showed me His way, which was a better way. And are we willing to yield and say, "Okay, God, I'm willing to go your way now"? If you can't say that today and really mean it, then give it a little time because God will begin to work on you. He's getting us to the place where we will say, "Okay, God, we'll have it your way." Amen? Because your way really is best. For what purpose? So that your final outcome would be good. Your final outcome. Now, how many of you know that God interrupted Noah? He interrupted his schedule to do what? To build an ark to the saving of his family. God interrupted Abraham. See, in every case, these guys were just going along life, you know, doing life as usual, what they always do, just their daily routine, and God interrupts. And he called Abraham to leave everything that was familiar to him in order to make him the father of many nations. That was not in his plan book. God interrupted David and he called him away from tending sheep, remember, in order to prepare him to be king over Israel. But David had no idea the difficulties that lay before him before that promise would become a reality. I know we want to be able to hear a word from God, get a promise from God, and instantaneously just receive it, walk in it. There are times when God does miracles. They're instantaneous. But many times it's going to require a process, a preparation to get us into position so we can handle the blessing. Sometimes we're not mature enough to handle the promise where we're at that time when it comes. So God takes us through the process of maturing us so that we can handle the blessing of God when it comes. For example, in ministry, it says, do not put someone who is brand new in the faith in a position of authority in the church. Don't put a babe in the pulpit, for example. Or he's going to get proud, amen, just like Satan got puffed up, and he's going to come crashing down. There has to be a process of preparation for that person to be ready for that responsibility. It is a great responsibility, and we have to wait on God's timing. For whatever ministry God has called us to, sometimes we get impatient in the process, and we try to make happen what God will do in his time. That's what Abraham tried to do. He tried to make the promise come in. Remember, with Hagar. He got out of the will of God. He got impatient in the process. God called Esther to stop a genocide while living in exile. God interrupted Mary's plans. He called her to be the mother of Jesus. And now that was not something that she had in her daily calendar. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what God was going to do tomorrow. What God may show up in your life and say, I'm calling you to do this or to do that. But often when God does call, there is a length of time between the initial call and the fulfillment of that. And we have to wait on God's timing. Because God has a better plan for us. He wants to give us a future and a hope. He wants to give us hope in our final outcome. Now, when Israel was dealing with the pagan nations around them, they esteemed like wealth and power and military might and land as a sign of favor from the gods. I want you to hear this today. The greater your God, the greater your prosperity, the greater your comfort, the greater your wealth, the greater your military. That was the thinking of the pagans. Ouch. The greater the glory, the greater the money, the greater the military, the greater the gods were. And so Israel had a problem often because they're saying, God, what about your name? What about your glory? We're suffering under this oppression in this place where we would have never chosen to be. And yet here we are in this place that we've never been before, in a strange land. Everything is strange to us. We've lost everything, and here we are, and they are gloating in their successes. They're gloating in their wealth, in their military might. Are you hearing me today? And yet Israel was the apple of God's eye. Israel, God had his eye on Israel. You're my special people, my peculiar people. You're going to be a priesthood unto me. Are you hearing me? A nation of priests. And they find themselves in situations that just don't seem to add up or make sense. And how could this be? If we have favor, how can we be in this situation? How can this be happening to me if I've been doing all the right things, obeying your voice, doing what I know to be right, and how can bad things be happening to me? Has anybody ever been there? You see, what we think is a good idea may not be such a good idea for us. Our plans may be many, but God's plan is always the best plan. And often we're going to have to go through a process again to get into the place where we can handle the blessing when it comes once again. See, Israel thought, well, we should be the wealthiest, the greatest, the most powerful nation on earth, because their God truly was the great God. Are you agreeing with me? Amen. Our God is the greatest God. And folks, sometimes we misunderstand God's ways because we don't look at the full picture. We're looking at one little thing sometimes, and God says, take a look at the revelation from my word that I've given to you. I've revealed in that my ways and how I deal with people, how I deal with nations, how I deal with you, how I get you into the place where now you're user-friendly. Now I can bless you beyond what you could have ever done on your own. Because in the end result is what God is looking for. We need to understand that God's heart is good towards us. He's looking at the end result. Sometimes we feel just like that clay on the wheel, you know, going around, spinning around on that wheel, getting beat on, you know, and slapping water on it and working that thing and what in the world is going on? My whole world is spinning. God's getting you ready. He's preparing a vessel of honor. He's preparing us for eternity. He's training us for reigning. How many know that Joseph had God's favor on him when he promised him that he would be great? What happened? The very next thing, come on, he's being thrown into a pit, right? Sold into slavery. That was not in his book for success. Those were not the plans that Joseph had. I'm sure that was not the path that he would have chosen. Are you hearing me? But God's ways are not our ways. But God's ways are good. God's ways are always right. And in the end, God will reward us for faithfulness in the process. So Israel enters the promised land after they've been in the wilderness. Things were off to a good start. They appointed judges in time in the land, you know, was under the rule of judges. And then they decided that they wanted a king. And so God gave them what? Saul. And then there was what? David after Saul. And then there was Solomon, the son of David. And during Solomon's rule, life was good in Israel. I mean, they were the wealthiest of all. And they enjoyed immense prosperity, folks. The next thing that happened after Solomon was that Israel was split into two parts, a northern and a southern kingdom. They had different rulers, and they were in constant conflict with one another. And then in 712 BC, the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom, and only the southern kingdom was left. So they lost half of it right there to the Assyrians. And things were certainly not going the way that they expected. And then in 586 BC, another kingdom arose. Do you know what that was? Babylon. Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And what did they do? They destroyed the southern kingdom. Wiped out everything. Leveled everything. Took away the brightest and the best of the young adults and the leaders into captivity. Now everything has changed. Nothing is familiar anymore. No one had planned that kind of future for Israel. Where was God in all of this? They probably were saying, does God even exist? That wasn't fair. Is God good? Question. That's what the enemy does, you know. He comes up and he says, it's because God's not good that you're going through what you're going through. He tries to get us to doubt God's good intention. For I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good, not of evil. Amen? That it may go well with us at the end. Hallelujah. The question might be, does God even care about what's happening to me right now? I've been through so much, it doesn't seem to ever end. And so here we see in Psalms 137, Israel was in captivity, and this is what they said. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land, they asked. How can we sing the song of the Lord in a foreign land? I want you to think about that, folks. How many know that this world is not our home? How many know that our environment is not to dictate what goes on in our hearts? And we are to allow the rule of Christ in our hearts to dictate, if you will, what our world is going to be like. You see, the Babylonians were trying to assimilate Israel into their ways, into their pagan worship, into their customs, into their culture. And God's plan was to place Israel in a situation where they would be salt and light. They would be the influencers. They would be the ones to assimilate those people into the kingdom of God. That was the reason why God raised up Israel, is to reveal himself to the world through a people, a chosen people. You and I, in Christ, are Israel. Amen? We've been grafted in. We are Israel. We are to be salt and light in this place, in this world, in this foreign land, in this strange place. Because once we're born again, what used to be normal is no longer normal to us. Is this making sense today? We're living, if you will, in Babylon. And even though geographically we may be in a place where now our nation is no longer really a Christian nation, let's just face it. There are many of us here that can turn the tide because we are the ambassadors of heaven. We are the salt and the light, and we have the greater one on the inside of us. We are to be the influencers, amen? We are not to be the tail, but the head. We are to make the difference. By the grace of God. And they said, how can we rejoice in these conditions that we're in? How can we testify or proclaim God's goodness when everything seems to have fallen apart? How many would agree with me that when you mature as a believer, you can rejoice even when things are falling apart? That's a sign of growth. When you've come to know Him, you know, not just the theory, not just learning about Him, but you're getting to know His heart. You know God is good. Even when things seem to be falling apart, God is shaking things up because God wants to get things into the right place. If things continue to go the way they always do, come on, so often, we're going to get our plan. But if we got our plan, we would be disappointed at the end. God has a better plan, and He wants to reveal that plan to us. So He's going to disrupt your plans. As anybody, right? I've been bent on things, even in ministry, where I was just focused on this thing and just God interrupts it. Just pulls the rug out and says, no, wrong. God hadn't forgotten them. God's a promise keeper. And so in here, in this situation, Jeremiah sends letter. And this is what it says in verse 4. Now we're going to look at this promise in context. Verse 4, 29, Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, listen, whom I have caused to be carried away. From Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Where? In Babylon. Seek the peace, verse 7, of the city, where I have caused you to be carried away captive. There it is again. What did he say? He said, curse the government. No. Complain. No. Seek the peace of that nation. Why? So that it may go well with you. For in its peace, you will have peace. But then God does something here. I want you to hear this, folks. God warns them then, right after that, about the false prophets who were telling them that exile was only a short time. How often have we been in the middle of something that we were maybe expecting or hoping at least would be a short thing? You know, in and out. We talked about quizzes, right? A quiz is something that's fast. Usually it's easier than the big test. And sometimes we do good with the quizzes and we get a little cocky even. Yeah, no big deal. Well, here comes the test. Oh, God. God, we need you. God, we need your help. This is a long one. This is a long test. This is a big one. This is not something that's going to go away overnight, folks. You see, the false prophets were saying, look at verse 8. The Lord said, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you caused to be dreamed. In other words, you may have your own dream based upon what you ate. In other words, don't listen to the dreams that you want for you. What you want to hear. Don't listen to people who just tell you what you want to hear. They may even have good intentions, but if God isn't saying it, you don't want to hear it. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you. So what? 70 years is a long time. And cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And then you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Wow. Folks, I want you to hear this. There are times when God is allowing us, for our own good, to go through a long period of testing. And the enemy will raise up people who will try to interfere with that process, to try to abort it. Or even to tell you things that they know you want to hear, such as, oh, you're going to be well, you know. Or things are going to be turned around here very quickly. Have you had anybody ever say that to you? Maybe you're going through something, maybe this sickness, maybe whatever it is. You know, God has a process for everything, folks. God is sovereign. God at any time can say, sickness is gone. Are you hearing me? He's sovereign. He gives us authority, but that authority is based upon His Word. And when God says, pray for them, they'll be healed. Then you pray for them and they will be healed. But there are times when you can pray till the cows come home and nothing happens. Why? Because there's a process, and we have to be careful that we're not subjecting ourselves to people who tell us that it will go well with us when God is allowing something to happen for a process of time. Are you hearing me? We want to pray our way out of every problem. Sometimes, yeah. Pray and God does hear. Amen? But if you look at the witness of Scripture, you look at the examples, all these men and women that went before, you know, God blessed them in the end. He blessed them in the end. And so the process was difficult. But God's intentions were always good. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good, not of evil. Israel had three responses to Babylon. You and I have the same three responses today. We live in a sin-sick world. We live in a system called the world, the cosmos. This is that evil, if you will, kingdom of darkness. We live in a situation where there are manifestations in the natural of what's taking place in the spiritual. We're in the middle of this thing right now. But we are set here by God deliberately to be salt and to be light. To see the world, the people of this world, assimilated into the kingdom of God. But as people of God, we have the choices now. We can, as some are doing, they're assimilating into Babylon. They're assimilating into the world. They're copying the world. They're trying to be like the world because the world will like them if they act like and live like the world. Are you hearing me? Israel had that choice. They're either going to be salt and light, they're going to be God's representatives, or they're going to start to compromise and they're going to start yielding to the culture of that day. They're going to start assimilating into the Babylonian culture. Number two, Israel also had a choice. They could have isolated themselves. Sometimes, folks, we just want to isolate ourselves. Been there? I can remember working a job I worked for 9 years in this place where I was surrounded with filth and everything you can imagine. Amen? Sound familiar, some of you? And I wanted out of there. I kept thinking, wouldn't it be nice if I could work around Christians all day long? Oh, God, give me a job where I'll work around Christians all day long. I prayed that many times. Who else has prayed that here? Raise your hand. But God wouldn't let me go. God was working out something in me. He wanted me to shine in that situation. He wanted me to be salt and light in that situation. He wanted me to overcome that situation, not become assimilated into that, but to be the influencer. Are you hearing me? Yeah. To draw people to Jesus Christ, because the greater one is in us. Amen. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit available. Call on His name. Hallelujah. Call on the name of Jesus. And so sometimes we're not let out of the situation we're in until we learn the lesson. We like to be in a sterile environment, you know, untouched. And yet God says, no, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You're there to shine. You know where we shine the brightest, right? Amen. So we're here. Folks, God didn't call any one of us here to the Bible Belt. Thank God I'm not in the Bible Belt. I think I'd go crazy down there. But you know what? The Bible Belt needs to be evangelized too. The church needs to be evangelized. Amen. But sometimes people say, well, I want to move to where all the Christians are at and hang out just around Christians, you know. What about the rest of the world? We're going to say, well, just let the worst of the world go to hell. No. What did Jesus do? Jesus loved sinners. Jesus loved people. Jesus didn't necessarily, he wasn't yoked together with unbelievers, but Jesus sat and had lunch with unbelievers, with people of the world. How else was he going to reach them unless you're with them? Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. God will give us the boldness to be a witness, to be a testimony. Even in the midst of depravity, to be a light to where people, if you stand up for Jesus, I've discovered this. If you stand up for Jesus, they may not like you, but they'll respect you. And when the time comes, when the bottom falls out, guess who they're going to be looking for? I've seen it, folks. Over a period of years, I had people that didn't want anything to do with me. They would mock and they would say things. They didn't usually say it to my face, but there was sometimes when it got that way. But God just said, just stay in there, be consistent, be prayed up, and maintain your integrity. Let your light shine before Him. And after a period of years went by, people started asking, people started opening up. Even one guy who was an atheist who just constantly poked at me. Come to find out, he was just really mad at God. He was mad at God, and so he took it out on his people. Now, what did God tell the Israelites to do? He says, build houses, dwell in them, verse 5. Plant gardens, eat their fruit. Take wives, beget sons and daughters. In other words, live your life. Amen? Have a family, have children. Plan as if you got 100 years, but live as if you have one day. Plan your life. God's not against us making plans. Did you know that? But He's got a better plan. And if God interrupts your plan, say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me here? What are you trying to show me? There's something better that you have for me, because all of a sudden my plans have been completely discombobulated. What's God's desire? To make His home in us, to dwell in us, that we would be possessed by Him, amen, that we would be His temple, that we carry His glory into this world, that we would shine for Him, amen, that we would affect in a good way, amen, the people around us, that we would be contagious for Jesus, that people would see the good fruit of our lives, that they would see that we have joy, that we have peace. Even everybody else is worried about the future, we're like, hey, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And they see, whatever you have is what I want. I see the fruit of your life. There's something more to you than what I see. Yeah, and let me give you Jesus. Let me introduce you to my best friend. He called us, folks, to where we're at right now. Make plans. But commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him. And He'll bring it to pass. If God interrupts your plans, you need to go back to His heart and know His heart is good towards us, because He wants to give us a better end. And so if God interrupts your plans and things don't go the way that you expect, because over and over throughout Scripture we see that's exactly what happened. Joseph had no idea that he would be the number two man in the land. Here he starts out in a pit, forsaken, sold into slavery, on and on. After he received the promise, did God favor Joseph? Absolutely. Did it always go easy for Joseph? No. But God, in the end, blessed him, exalted him. And as a result, his brothers were saved too, his family. Amen? That's God's heart. God is good. Hallelujah. You know what happened to Stephen? Wasn't good. It wasn't fair. They murdered the man. They martyred him because of his witness for Jesus. But do you realize that because of the blood of Stephen, Saul of Tarsus was born again? And look at the impact on the world that Paul has had, because God's plans are superior to ours.